This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
It's Ryan Price in for Adam Sterling on the show today. Adam is battling a sore throat and a hoarse voice. You might have heard it in his voice yesterday if you were listening to the show. So he's taking a break, getting better, and I'm hanging out with you in the meantime. And our next topic is a big one we are always talking about here on CFAX, and that's the housing crisis. The housing situation in Victoria is, it seems like it's a perennial issue. We've never not been talking about housing, but of course it's more pressing than ever with the cost of living going up, the availability of homes getting harder. And for renters, it's a difficult time as well. And then on the swing side, you have the pressures that that causes to develop more, to build more. But where do you build that? How do you build that? What kind of buildings do you build? What kind of municipalities are allowing it? It's a pretty wide-ranging topic that always gets heated, and we're going to continue that discussion now. And the person we all like to talk to about this topic the most, at least I do, is Mike Kozakowski from citify.ca. He's a regular guest with me on our afternoon show. You also, of course, hear him on this program on Fridays with Adam Sterling every week. So we're getting him a little bit out of place for an Adam Sterling show because it's not Friday, but we still wanted to reach out and really just dive into the housing issue a bit more and get Mike Kozakowski on the line. So let's do that now. Mike, hello. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And Mike, I'll just for full honesty, again, with Adam being under the weather today, I didn't know I was going to be doing this until this morning. So I texted you. You're the first person I thought of. I'm like, oh, okay, I've got 4 hours to fill. Who else would I rather fill it with than Mike? And he's always got something interesting to say. And then you told me this. I hope you don't mind me paraphrasing you in your response to me, Mike. You agreed to come and join me on the radio. And you said that that you coincidentally were looking into, how the region stacks up on rentals and looking into who's pulling their weight and who isn't in the region when it comes to trying to build these things. So I thought that was just a great topic. So set this up for us. What have you been looking into as you've been diving into the rental market and building rental properties in the Greater Victoria area?
Yes, for sure. And thank you so much for the kind words. I'm honored to hear that, Ryan. I really appreciate it. And as you mentioned, it's quite timely that you reached out today because just yesterday we pulled some numbers on what's actually going on in terms of active construction throughout the capital region. In terms of rental construction, so we're not talking condos, we're not talking single-family dwellings, townhomes for sale, any of that, just purely rental housing across the entire market spectrum, which includes low-end housing in terms of price points, high-end housing, seniors housing, and supportive housing. We found through our data that just over 5,000 units are currently under construction from Souk to Sydney.
Oh, okay. Hang on. I'm going to hold you there. That actually sounds like a huge number, that right now, as we speak, there are 5,000 units of rental housing being built all across the capital region. But am I wrong? Is that a huge number?
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question. That's usually the question that most people ask when they see this number. They'll look at this and their first reaction is, wow, that's a large number. But then they think about it and go, well, is it a large number? And if I was to say one way or the other, I'd say it's not that large because we have to take into consideration that what's under construction today may not be delivered for several years. So we have to take that 5,000 unit count and split it into between 3 to 4 years or so, give or take, based on construction timelines. So we're looking at 5,000 units, in fact, over 5,000, but we're just using the 5,000 figure as a nice round number. And you have to split that up into 3 or 4 separate portions and maybe even 5, depending on some of the construction timelines that end up playing out when you've got complex projects that are delivering hundreds of units at a time. So what I also did for the show today, Ryan, is I split up the numbers, not just by region, which is what we reported on yesterday, but by municipality. We can have a little bit of fun in terms of diving into who's building what per capita and also break down the raw numbers per municipality. So whichever way you'd like me to approach it, just ask for it, and hopefully I've got the numbers for you.
I love a list. I love this. This is top quality content right here, Mike. This is great. So we got 5,000 purpose-built rentals happening right now. They're being built, again, like you said. Who knows exactly when they're all going to come on come online. We don't necessarily have in a few months 5,000 rentals suddenly available in a starved market for it. But either way, we know we need these regardless of the number. There's been a lot of pressure on municipalities over the last few years to find a way to approve and build more rental housing. Mm-hmm. So who is pulling their weight the most and the least? Do you? it's a little bit tongue in cheek here, trying to like rank this, and I know there's going to be a lot of different factors in it, but we'll have some fun with it anyways. Do you want to start with the least and then work our way up to who's building the most?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay,
I'd like to start by saying that there's also a caveat here because we're taking a snapshot at present, so this does not include projects that completed 2 days ago. And does not include projects that will start construction in 2 days, for example. So we're looking at a point in time. So the numbers are going to give us a fairly good and clear image, but they're not entirely representative of the efforts of a specific municipality, but it's a pretty good benchmark that we're going to see here. So I'll ask you the first question. Which municipality out of the 13 municipalities in South Island do you think is building the most housing per capita? It's per resident.
Building the most
per resident.
I would say either Langford or the city, Victoria proper. One of those two will be doing it, is my guess.
Okay, that's a great guess. One of those two is not even in the top five.
What? Okay, that's surprising to me.
How about another guess?
Okay. Okay, well, but I got it wrong. None of those two are the top?
One of those two is not even the top five.
Right.
And the other one of those two is not number one.
Is not number one. Okay. Mm-hmm. So somebody else is number one for building. And sorry, it's for rentals or just talking rentals, right?
For rentals, yes.
Specifically, who is building the most rentals right now? Saanich?
Nope.
No?
They're also not in the top five.
What?
I'll tell you, it's View Royal.
What? I never would have guessed View Royal. I'm glad you saved me there, because I would have just been like left dangling for a while, because I never would have guessed that. View Royal is building per capita the most rentals. That's surprising to me.
Yeah, that is very surprising. Now, we're not talking the most units, the most raw units.
Sure.
On a per capita basis, they are punching well above their weight with approximately 570 units under construction right now, with a population of under 12,000 people. So if you run the per capita numbers, that gives us the number one slot. Now, number two is your neck of the woods, Esquimalt.
Oh, Esquimalt is per capita building more rental than anybody else or other than View Royal.
Number two, exactly, with 744 units underway and just under 18,000 people. Now, the population statistic that we're using is the 2021 census. That's as good as we're going to get for now,
yeah,
based on population data, and that's what we're using. So Esquimalt's number two, and I'll tell you number three.
Oh, I'm just being surprised all over the place here. Is this going to be something like Sydney?
Nope, you had it right before.
Oh, Langford?
You got it.
That's okay.
Number three, 1,240 units and about 47,000 people.
Okay.
Number four is going to also surprise you. It's Central Saanich.
Central Saanich. It's kind of where I was going with Sydney. It's going to be some quiet peninsula municipality, isn't it? So they're building per capita more rental housing than anybody else. This is not an intuitive list.
No, it's not. I'll tell you number five, and that's Souk. So it's
okay.
Interesting, isn't it? Where we would assume that the largest municipalities would just be pumping out the housing because they've got the most land mass, they've got the most people, the most housing need,
and the most and the most appetite for taller buildings that can fit more units,
sure,
in a smaller space. Where I would think all of the construction cranes I'm seeing around Victoria, the city, would have translated into bigger numbers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now we can go through the list of raw unit numbers per municipality.
Oh well, if we're going to do that, we should take our break here and let everybody wait. So after I got everything wrong the first time, we're going to have to reset here, take a break, and come back and see if I can better predict this one. How's that?
You got it.
Okay. Mike Kozakowski from Citified.ca is here. He has spent some time diving into some numbers, breaking down all of the rental units that are being constructed around the region. We're having some fun with this, but this is a serious issue. We are so desperately short on rental housing in this market. It's a housing crisis all over the country, but, you know, Victoria feels it in its own way. We've got a lot of renters in this town, and we just need more. The rents have gone up so much, the average cost of rent. If anybody out there listening has been in the rental market recently trying to find a place, you know how prohibitively expensive it is and how hard it can be to find a place. So great to hear that we've got 5,000 units being built. Where are they being built and who's building the most? We're kind of going over a list of this right now, and we'll get back to it in just a moment here on CFAX 1070.
If it's happening, it's here. This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
And it's Ryan Price filling in for Adam on the show today. And we're talking this hour with Mike Kozakowski from Citified.ca. Let's get him back up on the line here. Mike, how's it going?
Here we are.
Yeah, there we go. Got the right button there. Now, Mike, before the break, we were talking about rental housing, that about 5,000 units of rental housing is being constructed as we speak around the region. Now, it'll all be done at different times, but it's under construction, which, as we said, seems like a large number, but considering the demand we have, it's maybe not such a big number. So that was one piece of the story. But the other thing we're doing here is diving into which regions, which municipalities are building the most of it. And there was a bit of a surprise. You were telling us that If you don't just look at raw numbers, if you look at per capita metrics, View Royal is actually building the most rental housing per capita, you know, units per capita in the region. It's not Victoria. Mm-hmm. It's not Langford. It's View Royal that is pulling its weight the most with that lens on it. I thought that was quite fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And I'll run through the list again. The top five, which was View Royal, number one. Number two is Esquimalt. Number three was the city of Langford. Number four, Central Saanich, and number five, Souk. I think maybe the majority of people would have guessed one of those five, but certainly, even myself looking at the numbers, I was thrown for a bit of a loop there.
Yeah, that's crazy. So now you were going to do it by just raw numbers next, and I thought maybe we should do the same thing. I'm going to make my same guess, because I guessed that it was either Victoria or Langford who were doing it the most per capita in the last test. So I'm going to try that guess again this time. Is it either Victoria or Langford who are, based on raw numbers, making the most rental housing?
You'll have to choose one or the other.
Oh, I'm going to pick Victoria. City of Victoria.
They're number two, but not by much.
Okay.
Quite close. However, Victoria has about twice the population.
So that's why per capita they're really falling apart.
For per capita, Langford is way above its weight, which is approximately 1,200 units for both of them. And again, I'd like to just add the caveat that this number is quite fluid. It can change on a very short notice basis. I mean, there's projects starting up all the time, and we're looking at data that is a single snapshot at just one point in time, this being this week, and the numbers that we have could change by several hundred units if a project wraps up or if a new project launches construction. But generally speaking, the numbers that we're seeing are fairly representative of the overall activity that a municipality will have seen and is likely to see over the next couple of years and going back a couple of years. So the two, in terms of raw numbers, the two highest hitting municipalities with upcoming purpose-built rental supply are the city of Langford is number one, Victoria is number two, and both are approximately 1,200 units. Langford has just a little bit more, about 40 units more than Victoria. Number three is, again, your neck of the woods, Esquimalt.
Really?
744 units.
Yeah. Sorry, I walked all over you. You give us that number again.
744.
That sounds dramatically large for such a small municipality compared to the other two you just mentioned.
We're going through a building boom in Esquimalt. It's been a sleeping giant over the last decade or so. Not a lot of activity has taken place, and only the last several years did Esquimalt start to gain the interest of the development community. And for the reasons that many of us would probably ascribe to Esquimalt, that being that it was the other side of the proverbial train tracks, it was this underdog of municipality. For many years, it was considered a high crime rate municipality, but none of that was really true. And so Esquimalt is now reaping the benefits of its location, which is arguably just beautiful, with a huge coastline. In fact, one of the largest coastlines in the CRD, because it's surrounded by water on both sides. In fact, three sides of the municipality.
If you count the gorge, yeah.
So it's a bit of a gold mine in terms of development potential, and it's only just begun to turn that corner, and the community there is starting to reap the rewards of this. Just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about an upcoming 24-story tower that's been proposed at Head Street and Esquimalt Road, and it's just a sign of the changing times in Esquimalt. So that's why they're number three with well over 700 units. So number four is Saanich. Again, not much of a surprise, but what is a surprise is that there's not that much going on. That will change this year. There are likely to be a couple of larger startups taking place in the municipality, so we're going to see this number jump a little bit. But currently, we're just over 650 units of active inventory. And in fact, we could even count that as closer to 800, maybe, based on the projected build-out of a large project at University Heights, which is a high-profile development. It will have multiple buildings, some 600 units. What I've done for the purposes of the data collection that I do with Citified is I've split that project up into a longer window of delivery, just because these large multi-building projects can sometimes drag out a little bit longer than they may initially be expected to. There's a lot of factors that play into the construction status of a project and if it's going to continue on to subsequent buildings. So I've made the choice to split that out, and Saanich is our one asterisk municipality that could have a little bit more, but for the purposes of the data that I'm collecting, we're just going to keep it around 650 for now. So not that bad, but again, the largest municipality, almost 120,000 people, but they're building a housing supply that is also being built by a municipality of about a fifth of Saanich's population.
Now, a texter just brought something up that I think is interesting to throw into this. So we're having some fun here for sure. This is a little tongue-in-cheek as we kind of rank which municipalities are pulling their weight the most when it comes to constructing rental housing, much-needed rental housing in our region. But somebody says, yeah, but which municipality has the most undevelopable land? So there are going to be places where either you're caught in ALR land that you can't build there, or maybe there's parks, or there's just something. Maybe it's already built up; you can't develop any further. Are there some municipalities that might get a bad rap because they've done all they can do already?
Mm-hmm. Excellent question, and that's actually a topic of discussion that the development community has a lot: is what to do with parcels that happen to end up in the ALR. We just heard about the large former golf course in Royal Oak that is currently for sale, and a lot of it, if not the entirety of it, is within the ALR. I'm not familiar with the precise allotment of the ALR there at that parcel, but it's just a point of discussion when you've got a former golf course, which was used for playing a game for decades and decades, that is now sitting, not being used, but it's stuck because it's within the ALR, yet it's within the urban core of the region. It has excellent walkability, great transit access, great infrastructure access, and for the most part, can't really be touched for development. So that's a very good point that the texter is bringing up. But I'd like to point out that the Central Saanich situation, and as we know, Central Saanich is number four per capita, they have a tremendous amount of ALR land and farmland within the municipality, and they're still punching well above their weight. So that's not necessarily a factor that limits the growth of a municipality's housing stock, but it is a factor that can limit the growth. Langford, for example, its high-density developments are not taking place on farmland or necessarily even untouched wilderness for the most part. It's actually the densification of existing, already developed sites. Same situation in the city of Victoria, which in order for it to develop almost exclusively, it requires the raising of existing housing stock or existing structures to make way for new housing, but not exclusively. And we see that with the Dockside Green development in Vic West and also the Bayview/Roundhouse development in Vic West. Both are brownfield sites. They're not actively being used for housing. In fact, they were just former industrial spaces for many decades and generations in the past. So, great question. A little bit more complex than just saying this municipality has ALR and therefore it has less potential for development, but certainly a factor that plays into this somewhere in the grand scheme of this discussion.
We got to take a break, but hold on the line. Mike Kozakowski from Citified.ca is here. We're talking about rental housing construction. Who's doing the most of it? Who's doing the least of it? And we'll get back to this conversation. And your texts and calls. We'll, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 250-386-1161 or text us at 107010. We'll get to all of that in just a moment.
This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
And my name is Ryan Price, filling in for Adam Sterling on the program today. And we're talking to Mike Kozakowski from Citified.ca. You usually hear him here on The Adam Show on Fridays, but we've got him in for a special occasion because Mike, I found out that I was filling in for the show this morning because Adam's voice was giving out on him and he needed to take a break. So I reached out to you and said, hey, you want to join me and talk about whatever on the show today? And you said, yeah, I've got some rental housing numbers I really want to talk about because as you were telling us before the break, you were breaking down who's building what when it comes to rental housing across the region. And that's what we're talking about here. And before we move on to some of our listener calls and texts, let's just wrap up our conversation on who's building what. In raw numbers, who's pulling their weight the most and the least, which I know is kind of a tongue-in-cheek way to look at it, and there's other factors to consider. But just for fun, let's keep going down that list and finish that off.
Okay, and I'll recap the four municipalities that we just talked about, which in number one place in terms of raw numbers would be the city of Langford with 1,240 units, give or take. The city of Victoria, number two, at approximately 1,200 units. So they're pretty much in a tie there, but of course Victoria has twice the population, so per capita Langford is building much more in terms of that calculation. Now number three, we have Esquimalt, which is a surprise to many, including myself, for a municipality of well under 20,000 people. Then you've got Saanich, which has five times the population, or six times rather, the population of Esquimalt, and just over 650 or so units. Now, again, there's a potential for a little bit more as part of a much larger project, but we're just going to settle about 650 for now. Now, View Royal is number five, 570 units of rental housing. Central Saanich is number four with just over 400 units of rental housing. Souk is number six here, or seven, rather, with 322 units. Colwood, number eight, at 148 units. Sydney with 71.
So Sydney's down at the bottom of the list.
They're at the bottom of the list in terms of active inventory, but there's still municipalities that are on the list that are even lower than Sydney. And I'll tell you, they're not looking too good in terms of rental housing supply, and they each have a total between them, rather, a total of zero.
Mm.
And that leaves us with one that I think most people would guess. That's Oak Bay. And then we have North Saanich. Then we have Highlands. And we have Metchosin. So between those four municipalities, zero rental housing under construction.
Now, and for some of them, like Metchosin, for Highlands, I get it. Like, who's going to be building a lot of rental housing in those extremely rural areas with large lots? And I'm not surprised or worried about that. Or should I be? Are those municipalities expected to be building more rental housing?
It's a very good question, and it's something that 10 years ago, I think the consensus would have been, no, we have no expectation of higher densities being built in those communities or even a ton of new housing being built in those communities. But over the last several years, we've all heard the political discussion around housing supply, how every municipality is going to be expected to do something to alleviate the issue of housing supply. So I would imagine that a community like Metchosin and a community like Highland is going to feel some pressure over the next several years. I mean, on the Metchosin front, you've got the Royal Bay development, which is literally on the Metchosin border, and you're going to have a wide mix of housing there, from single-family dwellings all the way up to high-density condominiums and apartments. And it's just a stone's throw from Metchosin, which builds on the case of Metchosin maybe being expected to rezone some of its border properties with Colwood and with Langford and allow higher densities of housing. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow or maybe in a year or maybe even two, but the conversation has been started And I would not be surprised if we started seeing some density materialize in the Chosen, especially now that they've crossed over that 5,000-person threshold and are required to pay for their RCMP policing budget, which is a cost that they did not historically have. Now, in terms of the Chosen, or rather in terms of Highlands, I can see that community being the last to the finish line, I think, in terms of new housing, just because the topography is a little bit wonky there. You've got a lot of islands, for lack of a better term. The topography is not the easiest to build on. But again, you've got Langford as its dominant neighbor, and the Bear Mountain community has pushed some of that housing density on Bear Mountain into the realm of the Highlands. So we're likely to see some form of higher density housing, according to provincial requirements, materialize in Highlands over the years to come. And again, most likely within the realm of its Langford or influence of Langford, so the border communities there. Oak Bay, it's been a perennial talking point about the lack of new housing in Oak Bay, period. Not just rental housing, but market housing, condominiums, single-family dwellings. It's not the easiest municipality to develop in. Certainly, there was a fairly contentious decision last year where a very small condominium project, I believe it was called The Quest, was denied by council, and that caused quite an uproar from individuals who felt like Oak Bay has some responsibility to add more housing, and having denied a small multi-unit building on the Oak Bay Avenue Strip just sent the wrong message to the public. But that's a political discussion for the residents of Oak Bay, and certainly not a surprise today that they have zero units underway. North Saanich, that was a surprise. I expect there to be some type of activity taking place in terms of higher density construction and rental housing over the last several years. North Saanich has seen the infusion of higher density housing, and I expect that trend to continue into the years to come. But at this point in time, given that we're taking a snapshot that is looking at the numbers today, there's nothing going on. It's all quiet on the northern front of the capital region.
Well, that's a great look at the list of rental housing that is under construction right now in that snapshot, and who's building the most and who's building the least. Now, Mike, we've got some callers joining us. We've got some texters. Should we open things up to the callers and texters right now?
Let's do it. Yeah, for sure.
I think Jeet is our first caller. Jeet, are you there?
Yes, yes. Hi. Hey, guys. How are you guys doing? Yes, I got 2 points about, you know, building. I mean, they had a city council meeting in Toronto, right? And there's a Bluebird topic they're talked about on Bluebird, that the government is doing one thing, but a lot of city councilors are not keeping up. They're not on the same page, you know, and they're not building enough. And, you know, even to rent is not cheap, right? So, you know, people do want to own, and to get that piece of property from a condo to a townhouse to even a house, it's pretty expensive, right? So, you know, end of the day, I think one day the government needs to step in, tell all the premiers, hey, you need to take over and decide how we build, you know, houses and rentals and all this stuff.
Yeah, so you,
so every city council is not doing it, right? Everyone's like, as you know, North Saanich to Oak Bay, they just don't want to change the landscaping of their communities.
Well, no, I think you bring up something great. And let me make sure I'm right. You just think you kind of agree with the idea that the province should be stepping in to kind of override councils when it comes to denying housing projects.
It will happen one day because more density is needed. So where are all these people going to live? Right?
Well,
they're bringing in so many people.
Well, Jeet, could you hang on 1 second there?
Sure.
Because I want to bring Mike back up on the line. I actually, I kind of hung up on you, Mike, a second ago because I pushed the wrong button.
That's okay. No, it's all good. I think I understand the sentiment that Jeet's trying to address here. But yeah, let's continue.
Yeah, so let's just, I want to get into Jeet's point, and Jeet, feel free to call me back if you need to follow up. But I think he opens up a great conversation because we've, of course, already had the province stepping into this and working on ways to strongly encourage municipalities to approve more housing and step in if they don't, which is kind of what Jeet's getting to. But to bring it into what he was saying about how you've got some of these municipalities, like you were mentioning, Mike, the ones that aren't building a lot, does it make, like, I've always thought when it comes to the province stepping in that it makes more sense in a place like a Victoria, an urban core area, if, or even a Saanich, where there is more of an expectation and an acceptance of building more density. Like that makes sense to me that the province could step in there. But if the province starts stepping into a place like Machozen and ordering them to build like rental towers, I just don't see that even happening. Like, I don't see that being a palatable thing for anybody. Or should they? Or I guess I'm kind of spinning my wheels here. I just do think that there are some uncertainties when the province starts to step in there. And where do you sit on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great questions. Lots of great questions today for sure. I'm hearing murmurings that there might be an initiative coming from the province that will assume some of the responsibilities when it comes to rezonings and development permits. I'm not entirely sure to what extent this will occur and where this will apply in terms of applying equally within the municipalities of, let's say, the capital region or targeting specific municipalities. But the consensus is, politically speaking, that some municipalities are just not willing or able to carry their weight. I say not willing or able because in some communities we certainly have fairly robust development standards and development departments, planning departments that are able to manage fairly complex projects, but some municipalities are unable to. And you've got to think that you come to a smaller municipality that has fewer projects moving down the pipeline. A larger proposal can be quite overwhelming for the people who are tasked with addressing that proposal and bringing it into the realm of conversation with council, into the realm of conversations with the public, dealing with the complexities of a large project. And so some of the municipalities can certainly use help in terms of the way they do business. Other municipalities have to find better ways of doing business. The city of Langford historically has been viewed throughout the province and by various levels of the political strata as a exemplary place to do business in if you're a developer. And I suspect that what we're going to be seeing in the future are some of the practices that Langford had developed and had sharpened its pencils over will be introduced by the province and drawn up as guidelines for other municipalities to follow and implement, because Langford was known far and wide as being a place that had a very short turnaround time for development proposals. The developers were told when they came in with the proposal that the understanding was that time is money and that the output of the developer is appreciated. It will add to the revenues of the municipality, but more importantly, will add more housing stock, more spaces for businesses, and so their business was appreciated. And the municipality would do whatever it could to fast-track their application through the process and get the shovels in the dirt. That approach is not one that is shared by the majority of municipalities. They can have various levels of difficulties addressing the needs of the developer and matching them with the needs of established communities. They can have a variety of issues stemming from a lack of workers at the planning department and just lengthy delays. There can also be infrastructure issues that impact the ability to deliver densities in a given part of the municipality. I mean, you have such a wide spectrum of potential problems from one municipality to the next that it's really a daunting task for a developer to come in and propose housing and expect that they won't have a verdict on their proposal for several years. I mean, think of the carrying costs involved with that. Think of the lost opportunity costs that are being sunk into proposals that will take years to move from a concept to shovels in the ground. And the province is recognizing that this is happening, that there's no uniformity out there, even among a small region like the capital region, which has 13 ways of doing business with 13 planning departments, and it doesn't end there. There's also areas of the capital region that require the CRD to oversee the proposals. And you've got all these layers of government all trying to effectively do the same thing, but doing it in their own unique way.
Which kind of gets us back to the question of should the province step in. So actually, Mike, hang on. Before we take our break, I just wanted to bring Jeet back up on the line because he's the one who asked the original question. Jeet, is any of this kind of answering your question?
No, it's a good point. I mean, I think it's inevitable. In another 5 or 10 years, more population comes in. You know, we have to just build up. It's too young. You know, it was going to take that model, and that's just the reality. You can't stop it, right? You know, I know a lot of people want to keep their own communities but across Canada, but at the end of the day, more population comes in, they have to live somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I hope we have a whole... Another thing is, too, I'm happy that Alberta elected the Conservatives, but I hope we have another federal election. But good job, guys, and take care. Hope Adam gets well.
Yeah, Jeet, thank you so much for the call, and thanks for taking part today. All right. Well, Mike, on that point, we'll take our break, but we've got much more to say on this. We have many more listeners texting in with questions about rental housing in Victoria. So we'll get back to that in just a moment here on CFAX 1070.
Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070 and streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ryan Price filling in for Adam on the show today. Adam is resting a sore throat. He'll be back with you soon. And we have on the line with us Mike Kozakowski from citified.ca, where we've been talking about rental housing, the construction of rental housing in our region. Who's doing more of it? Who's doing less of it? Who's pulling their weight? Kind of having a bit of fun with the topic. But it is a serious topic. The housing crisis and the rental housing, let's call it a crisis as well, is certainly something that we continue to follow here. And Mike, thanks for holding on the line there.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, we don't have a lot of time left in the hour, but we got a lot of questions. So can we rapid fire some text questions at you?
Sure.
Now, any one of these questions could actually lead to like another hour of conversation. So we'll have to be disciplined here. This is the biggest one. It's the exact same thing I hear all the time. And I get the sentiment, but I don't really know where you go with this. But somebody says, underlying cause of the housing shortage is the influx of too many people who want to live here. And yes, you're right. We wouldn't have a housing crisis if nobody else ever decided to move into Victoria. if we just put up a wall and said nobody else is allowed to come in, the drawbridge has been drawn up. And I kind of get that. I understand that's a thing that you would think, but I don't really understand how you would change that. How do you change Victoria from being an extremely desirable place to live where people want to move? Like, there's nothing you can really do about it. We kind of have to live with the fact that we are a very desirable place in this country, in this whole world that people want to come to, and some of those people are going to have means, and they're going to come here regardless of how expensive it gets. So if we don't build housing to accommodate this, all we're going to end up is making things more expensive. That's my take on it. But I do still understand that. Like, some people just go, why can't we just say mm-hmm. we're closed, don't come anymore?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, certainly if the sky-high prices of real estate are not stopping newcomers, then I don't know how much we can do that would stop them, other than closing down the ferry terminals and shutting down the airports. Short of that, I don't think we can. I mean, look at the average price of a house in the city of Victoria now. I mean, it is very, very expensive. We're talking well above $1 million for the city of Victoria, and yet they keep selling. May of this year could surpass May of last year in terms of the unit sales on the MLS, the multiple listing service. So despite the high prices, despite the higher interest rates, housing is still selling like hotcakes.
Somebody just texted, make the weather suck, then people will stop coming. Noted. Noted. Okay. Okay. Look, we've got a bunch of these to get through. Somebody else says, ask Mike what we are going to do with the impact of rent controls. Thanks from Don. So that text from Don. Your take on rent controls.
Sure. Well, the rent controls are likely to have a counterintuitive impact. On the one hand, they are deemed as necessary to control the cost of rental housing and control the cost implications for renters. But on the other hand, in terms of access to lending from investors and lending institutions, rent controls have the opposite impact that we'd like them to have, in that they can actually stymie the supply of new rental housing. And we're already seeing some projects having difficulty accessing housing, or dollars for new housing, I should say, because the potential of keeping the rental costs in sync with operational costs is eroding with the province's decision to cap annual rental increases. So that's not going to bode well over the longer term for housing supply.
All right, next one in our rapid fire set of texts for you. Somebody else says, good morning, Ryan. How about parking spaces for all the new buildings that you're talking about under construction? Is University Heights, IE University Heights project, the Shelley, recently finishes across the street, has very few parking spaces for the over 100 suites and retail stores. This will cause parking issues for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. That's a topic of discussion that we've started the year with, actually, was what to do with the parking supply. It's very expensive to supply. It can cause the financials for a project to go a little bit wonky, depending on how much is being supplied, what the actual geotechnical issues happen to be. And in some cases, I think there's certainly probably would be a good idea for a project not to have parking because of the costs that it requires the developer to invest into providing that parking. And in terms of residential units in the downtown core and the urban core of the capital region, you could fairly easily get away with not supplying parking because so many of the people who would be living in that building would not necessarily need a vehicle. But the key to this is to start that planning process from day one with limited or no parking and not have that emerge as a requirement set by a municipality at the end of the planning process, which we saw with a project in downtown Victoria where the developers were caught off guard with a limit on how much parking they could supply, but they had designed and developed the unit with a specific parking supply in mind.
Yeah, the Starlight development. Look, like I said, any of these questions could take us an hour to talk about, but I want to sneak one more in with 60 seconds left. I love this question. Good morning, Ryan. In the Netherlands, they build housing communities on the water, floating. Does Mike know why we don't do that here?
Mm-hmm. Excellent question. Now, we do that in a very limited capacity with floating homes, and we have that in Esquimalt, West Bay Marina. We've got a few at Fisherman's Wharf and James Bay, but for the most part, that is not something that we do very often. I'm not 100% versed on what the legalities of that would be because the water is a federal jurisdiction, I believe, and so getting into the housing business on the water, dealing with federal politics, and then I'm sure there would be a provincial aspect to it and then a municipal aspect to it, that could turn into a bit of a quagmire. So whatever they're doing in the Netherlands, if it has promise, shoot us an email with more information, and I promise to look into that for sure.
Well, I guess we're out of time, but I'll just say the prospect of getting permission and then building a new marina in which to put housing is no easy task, and we've seen that play out before. But Mike Kozakowski from citified.ca, check out his website for articles like the one we're talking about today with the rental housing. But we got to leave it there. I always appreciate your time, sir.
My pleasure. Excellent discussion today. Thank you for your time.
We will take a break for the news at noon. It's Victoria at Noon coming up, all the news of the day, and then we'll be back with our last hour in just a moment.